The election surely had an impact on the level of funding DOD is likely to get over the next several years. Governor Mitt Romney had promised to increase defense spending to 4% of GDP. President Obama, meanwhile, had already laid out his plan for the next 10 years of Pentagon spending, including the $487 billion in reductions laid out in last year's debt ceiling agreement. But as part of that same agreement, almost a $500 billion in cuts will hit DOD beginning January 2nd, unless the president and lawmakers arrive at a deal to undo sequestration. As Pentagon Press Secretary George Little told reporters yesterday,
there are a lot of question marks out there. I don't have a precise answer for you. This is really the Congress of the United States that needs to answer the question of when sequestration will be ended. And we've made our views known loudly, clearly, and regularly. We hope to avoid sequestration altogether. It kicks in January, and we hope to be able to avert it before then.
Those question marks make it hard to see what the impact of President Obama's reelection on DOD will truly be, says Todd Harrison, the senior fellow for defense budget studies at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments.
So that is really the big unknown right now. And, you know, we just, you know, this fog bank of sequestration just really is preventing us from seeing much past January 2nd.
Harrison says while the sequestration debate that'll happen in the lame duck session of Congress has little to do with defense and more to do with disagreements over tax policy and entitlement spending, it's unlikely that DOD will escape the debate without further cuts of some kind.
If anything, just because you look back at the history, the defense budget has gone through, you know, three full cycles of up and down since the end of World War II. It looks like we're coming off one of the peaks in those cycles. And if historical trends hold true at all, we could be looking at a 20 or 30% gradual reduction in defense spending over the next decade. You know, and given the fact that, you know, we have near record federal deficit right now, it seems, you know, reasonable to assume that defense is going to be part of that deficit reduction effort.
That gradual spending cut would be preferable from DOD's perspective to the 10% indiscriminate across-the-board decreases that would happen immediately next year under sequestration. Pentagon officials have consistently maintained that the problem with sequestration isn't just the amount of the cuts, it's the fact that the process robs leaders of any discretion to prioritize. Harrison thinks with the cuts on a gradual slope, the Obama administration's defense policy in a second term will still hew closely to the strategy the administration rolled out this January.
We're going to see a lot of continuity, as one would expect when the administration has not changed. We will have to see some tweaks to that strategy, though, if the budget is reduced, if not from sequestration, from some other, you know, deficit reduction deal, because they made it pretty clear that the strategy, the strategic guidance they put forth last year was tied to the budget. And if they didn't get that full budget, they would not be able to execute that strategy. And I think that is true looking at it. It's questionable that they would have been able to execute it with the budget that if they had gotten the budget they submitted.
Tom Donnelly is a defense and security policy analyst at the American Enterprise Institute. He thinks DOD has a lot more to worry about from the outcome of the lame duck negotiations over the fiscal cliff. He predicts the big cuts contemplated under sequestration represent a ceiling for defense spending in a second Obama term, not a floor.
Over the past year, we've pretty clearly seen that for neither party is the defense budget a top priority. And so both, I mean, that was the deal essentially reflected in the Budget Control Act and in the sequestration provision. So if the parties, what I would really be afraid of is that the Republican leadership in the House and the White House would work out some either short-term or longer-term budget deal that would essentially lock in the cuts reflected both in the BCA and in sequestration to minimize the sacrifices made on tax revenues and on entitlements.
Even though the Pentagon's military and civilian leaders have said consistently that their new defense strategy simply can't be executed with the funding level sequestration would leave them, Donnelly thinks that view is subject to change.
Yeah, I've been doing this long enough that and seen the risk factor or the risk-o-meter, if you will, essentially be manipulated in order to support whatever the budget is.
And Donnelly says the defense strategy leaves enough wiggle room for DOD leaders to make more cuts in the coming years without articulating a new strategy.
Basically reducing the standard of sufficiency to the one war construct, just use the shorthand term, that's reflected in the guidance. And so they'll be able to say that lower standard allows further cuts to be made. if all we're going to do is fight one war that lasts just 21 days and so on and so forth, then we're not going to get involved in any extended counterinsurgency or peacekeeping or irregular war type operations, we can actually, or so the argument will go, stand to cut some more.
Russell Rumbaugh served as a Senate Budget Committee staffer responsible for defense budgets. He's now the director of the Stimson Center's Budgeting for Foreign Affairs and Defense Program. He thinks it's highly unlikely that any political deal over deficit reduction will target DOD for abrupt spending cuts.
I don't see a big appetite for large defense cuts. Do I think large defense cuts could be done as part of a grand bargain? Yes, I do. However, the grand bargain itself seems like a very difficult reach. The most important point to remember here is that although entitlements are a part of our fiscal crisis, they're not a part of the fiscal cliff. Discretionary spending, because of sequester, is at risk and is pertinent for January 2nd. Revenue, because of the expiration of the Bush-era tax cuts at the same time, is part of the fiscal cliff. But entitlements, for the most part, aren't. There's some that are captured in the sequester provision, but not the big entitlements, not the ones that are driving the larger fiscal crisis we face.
But Rumbaugh says if DOD is asked to absorb cuts on the scale sequestration imagines, it certainly wouldn't be unprecedented for a military coming out of a war.
If you smoothed it out, if you didn't take it in the first year, but smoothed it out, would look an awful lot like previous defense downturns. So it isn't unreasonable to think may happen. But to get that in an agreement up front, I think needs to be rolled up in a broader bargain, this grand bargain. Right now, it looks like we can expect defense spending to be at roughly this level, although I'll expect that every year it will be drawn down just a little bit more. Once the big change has been made, that both the President and Congress can and tweak it down just a little bit to try to free up some resources elsewhere. So I won't be surprised to see continuing downward pressure on defense, although, again, just downward pressure, not a fundamentally different level.
Budget issues aside, another big DOD change that's speculated to happen in the coming weeks or months involves a change at the very top. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is rumored in media reports as planning to step aside and return home to Northern California. Though, at the Pentagon yesterday, George Little declined to provide fodder for those press accounts.
There's always a temptation shortly after an election to engage in what I call Washington parlor games and to speculate about personnel changes that may or may not occur in the future. Secretary Panetta is focused squarely on his job today. He's focused on the missions of the Department of Defense, and he's not focused on his personal future.
Like much of the rest of the Obama administration's political appointees, DOD civilian leadership has been relatively stable. AEI's Tom Donnelly says we should expect to see departures soon by not just the defense secretary, but, for example, the secretaries of the military services.
Panetta was kind of a caretaker guy anyway. And there are a lot of people sort of at the deputy and under level, you know, who have been there for 4 years and are just exhausted.
Harrison from the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments says whoever the new defense secretary is, he or she will have a lot on his or her plate.
The next Secretary of Defense really will have an opportunity to put, you know, his or her thumbprint on the future of the department, because there are a number of major decisions that are going to have to be made, and a lot of those decisions are going to stop at the secretary's desk. In terms of, you know, following through on this pivot to the Asia-Pacific region, what does that really mean? What kind of new capabilities are we going to invest in or not invest in over the next decade? You know, the decision on a lot of those things is going to be made in the next few years. You know, in terms of managing the drawdown from Afghanistan, the already planned reduction of about 100,000 troops in our ground forces, and, you know, decision of whether or not, you know, we need to, you know, draw down even more and take our ground forces down to an even smaller size than they were before 9/11. You know, the next Secretary of Defense is going to have a lot of room to influence those major decisions.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.